Hello and welcome to Great Ridge Station, a place to sit back and relax while you're waiting for your train to board. I'm your host, Sam Helgerson, and I'm pretty much a fixture around these parts. This is a special series, a field guide for Christian leaders. We're reaching back over 1,500 years to bring you a leadership classic from St. Gregory the Great, a week-by-week look at timeless wisdom from the past. Thanks for stopping in on your way through. Book 2, Chapter 11. Head in the Bible, Heart on Jesus. Well, if it hasn't occurred to you yet, any kind of leadership is difficult. Gregory and I agree on this point. Apart from Jesus Christ and a solid foundation in the faith, good leadership is impossible. Am I painting with a broad brush? Well, yes, I am. But let me remind you, St. Gregory understood leadership from every perspective of his day, sacred, secular, social, cultural, technical. Maybe life in Rome in the year 500 was less complicated than it was today, but maybe it wasn't. The old adage is still true. People are people. The Field Guide for Christian Leaders. How intent the ruler ought to be on meditations in the sacred law. Expect that a leader will do all this well if he is moved by the love of God and the fear of God and meditate on the Holy Scripture every day. Only when God has an opportunity to warn and guide our hearts will we be able to care for others and still keep our eyes on heaven. Without that, our interactions with others will wear us down, and the worldly focus of secular life will drag us back from the newness of life to the oldness of life. Time with God in Scripture through prayer and meditation is the only thing that can help us love the spiritual country that is our true home. When the heart is surrounded by the idle chatter of worldly talk, or when it is frustrated by the storms of day-to-day life, the heart can lose its balance and fall. You have to set it back on its feet by pursuing instruction. This is why Paul told Timothy, who was then a pastor over the flock, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." And this is why David said, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day." The Lord commanded Moses about how to carry the Ark of the Covenant, saying, "Make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and outside you shall overlay it, and you shall make on it a molding of gold. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, 2 rings on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it." Exodus 25, verses 11 through 15. The ark represents the Holy Church. The 4 rings of gold in each of the 4 corners show that the church will extend to the 4 quarters of the earth. Undoubtedly that it is equipped for its journey with the 4 Gospels. The poles are put through the rings for carrying because strong, faithful teachers may teach from the sacred writings and declare the unity of the church. Carrying the ark with those poles is to bring the Holy Church before the unredeemed minds by means of good teachers. They are to be overlaid with gold to show that they must do their work well and let their lives sparkle with holiness before others. The poles are always in the rings because no preacher should ever withdraw from the study of Scripture. This is why the poles are required to stay put in the rings. When the ark has to be carried, it shouldn't be delayed by looking for the poles. That is to say, when someone asks a question about a spiritual matter, the preacher has to be ready with an answer. Keep the poles in the rings by always meditating on the words of Scripture so that you can immediately teach whatever is required. This is why the first pastor, Peter, said, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Although he could have said, keep the poles in place so that there is no delay in carrying the ark. And now, it's time to stand before the mirror of truth. As I pointed out early on, Book 1 asks the question, who's fit to be a leader? And he made it pretty clear, not very many of us. But if you made it through that and into Book 2, he tells us, if you are called to be a leader, here's how to tend to yourself to make sure that you are up to the task. Well, this wraps up Book 2 of Gregory's Field Guide for Christian Leaders. You know, for all my years in the field of leadership, I've made it clear that there is no one-size-fits-all. A few authors have noted, leadership is an art, or leadership is like jazz. It involves developing excellence so that you can improvise around a common theme. St. Gregory had never heard jazz, but I'm pretty sure he would agree. So after a short break in our programming, we'll be back with Book 3. The third book addresses all the people, the challenges, the opportunities, and the contradictions that go into leading well. Thanks for joining us at Great Ridge Station. As the train boards and rolls on to its next destination, we hope you found your time here helpful. The paraphrase of St. Gregory's work, along with supporting content, was developed by Dr. Sam Helgerson. As always, our sound engineer is Brick Martin. The opening music is from Guy Lombardo, Down by the River, and the closing music is from Javier Cugat, Brazil. Great Ridge Station is a service of Great Ridge Group, LLC. Stay with us on this. We're eagerly awaiting your next visit to Great Ridge Station.